Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, and the views of our callers. And we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line Assemblyman Ray Haines. He used to be Senator Ray Haines, and so he got term limited out, went into the Assembly, and I'm so glad he did, because, you know, there are not that many people up in Sacramento I have a great deal of confidence in, but Assemblyman Haines, or Ray Haines, I have a great deal of confidence in. He's not there because he has to be there, because he wants to make a profession out of it. He's there because he wants to make a difference. Ray, thanks so much for being with us today.
Well, Dr. Stan, thanks for inviting me on. I always enjoy talking to you and talking about what's going on up here in Sacramento.
Well, I think it's important that people know. Of course, now, we're told, first of all, that, the economy's turned bad, and that's why we have this $34.5 billion deficit, and that's why we've got to make the cuts in government, and why we've got to raise taxes, raise the sales tax, raise the tax or the fee for cars, and all the other things that the governor is suggesting doing. But I, of course, gotten some of your material suggesting that just as Governor Davis has not been forthright in so many things, that he's not really telling us the truth. He's exaggerating what's going on to justify the tax increases. Why don't you pick up and tell us what's really going on in Sacramento?
Sure. I mean, you've tossed in a lot of things. So let me start right from the beginning. The governor a few weeks ago said first of all, he says the whole reason we have this problem is because the economy turned bad. Well, actually, this problem started when the economy was booming. And I just, without throwing too many numbers at you, when this governor took over as governor of the state of California, total state spending was $57 billion. Today it's $77 billion, 3 years later. If you compare that to the growth, that's the size of the growth of the state, or that's the size of the entire state government. That $20 billion, the size of the entire state government in 1982, not that long ago. That's how fast this government has grown. Is that in just 20 short years, it's quadrupled in size. So, you know, we don't have and here's another good set of numbers. One of my colleagues wrote these numbers. He says, remember these three numbers, 21, 28, and 76. The population of the state of California has grown by 21% over the last 4 years. State revenues have increased 28%, and state spending has increased 36%. We went from a $12 billion surplus to a $30 billion, according to the governor's number, $35 billion deficit in 2 years. That wasn't caused because the economy downturned. It caused because he couldn't control his desire to spend money. Now, the other thing that's happened is that today our legislative analyst office came out with a report that says the deficit is not $35 billion, it's $25 billion. And she says, so, you know, I mean, and the governor has basically proposed $25 billion in cuts.
Well, that's great. I mean, if you just take the cuts and not take the tax increases, we'd be in good shape.
Yeah, he does. Basically, what it means is he didn't need the tax increases when he proposed them, that he exaggerated the problem to justify the tax increases. And he's sticking with his number. You know, I don't care. We got to be really safe. We got to really conservative about this. Well, you know, last year, I wrote an article. Got published in, I wrote an article called The Budget That Ate California. And then last year, I wrote another article after we passed the budget called The Budget That Ate California Part 2. In both of those articles, I wrote down specifically the numbers and said, you know, we got to be careful. We can't be going there. You know, they're setting up a tax increase. Here it comes. It's coming. Don't, you know, they're underestimating the budget so they can continue their spending. And then the governor wasn't talking about doing the, you know, conservative estimates. He was overestimating revenue, underestimating spending for the sole purpose of trying to protect himself when he ran for re-election. Well, now the chickens have come home to roost, and now he wants to set it up so he can raise taxes to get through this whole problem. And quite frankly, he doesn't need to.
All right, of course. Well, now, will the Republicans be able to stave this off, even though you're certainly in a minority position? Fortunately, they have this rule. It takes two-thirds to pass a budget, and they don't have two-thirds unless a couple of the Republicans cave. Will you be able to hold strong?
Well, right now, I'll be blunt about this. You know, some of our guys have talked tough in the beginning and sold us out at the end. Right now, our guys are talking tough. The good news was we picked up some seats in this election, so it's much, much harder for them to get the votes. All the guys that sold us out in last year's budget are gone. They either did not seek or were not elected to office this last time around. So they're all gone. We've picked up more seats, so we got rid of our bad guys. We got a lot more good guys in, and we're in a much stronger position. And I don't think any of our guys will vote for a tax increase, number one. Number two, the Democrats are looking to try and violate the Constitution. There are several taxes, like the car tax, that they want to increase without a two-thirds vote, even though the Constitution, Article 1, Section 13, says you can't do that. They're saying, oh, well, we can if we want to.
Well, of course, they don't really believe in the law. They believe, of course, in power. And that's really the problem we face, you know, is this whole thing is socialism. And people understand that, don't understand, socialism is a wonderful theory, a sincere, benevolent, idealistic theory, but it doesn't work without force.
Right.
And, of course, they want to use force. They want to circumvent the law. And, of course, they want to continue their big spending. And all of these crazy programs, which don't help people, they really discourage them from accomplishing anything. You get what you subsidize. If you subsidize people working, they'll work. And if you subsidize people not working or not getting married or whatever it would be, the marriage tax, why, that's exactly what you get.
Yeah, and if you take a look in California, here's the interesting fact. California's economy problem started 3 months before George Bush took office. We have lost 230,000 manufacturing jobs in the state since December of 2000.
We're going to have to interrupt you right there. We're going to be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
This is Radio Health journalist Bill Sardi. Hey, a lot of smart supplement users like to check out the facts before they purchase an herbal product. So go to www.lifespannnutrition.com and read all about Alamex, the new odorless, 100% pure Allicin garlic extract imported from Great Britain. You'll find Alamex is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. Check it out at www.lifespannnutrition.com or call 866-405-4000 to learn more about this breakthrough in garlic technology called Alamex. Call 1-866-405-4000 today.
All right, well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention, if you sort of feel run down, tired in the morning, you feel like you really need some more energy, let me suggest something that I've taken for 8 to 10 years now, and I'm 74, and I go from 6 o'clock in the morning until about 10, 11 o'clock at night. It's called Royal Jelly. It's Be Alive Royal Jelly, and this really is a wonderful product. It's what the queen bee eats in the hive, and why it works, I don't know, but certainly it's been used in Europe and in China for many years to increase energy levels. It's now available in the United States, and of course, this is fresh royal jelly. They don't freeze it. They don't dry it. They don't do anything, and they don't let it sit around very long. You can only get it directly from the company. The telephone number is 1-866-233-7500. That's 1-866-233-7500. If you've taken it for 3 months and you don't feel any better, why, you can give them a call. They'll give you your money back. They don't get very many calls because most people really do feel better. So again, the number is 1-866-233-7500. Be Alive Royal Jelly.
book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, En Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today, and unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Assemblyman Ray Haynes, and you're down around Bakersfield, aren't you, someplace there?
Riverside, San Diego County.
Okay, fine. Well, that's a pretty good area to a lot of good conservative people down there, and I'm sure that they've gerrymandered this to make sure that, of course, they can take full advantage of the system and get as many Democrats as they can, but at least it means you're in a safe district. So, I certainly applaud you for being up there, Ray, and doing what you're doing.
I will say this, it wasn't a safe district when I started. I'd like to take credit for converting my area. So.
Well, you know, it's amazing what people can do if they can just get the truth out. And I know that you're out there trying to let people understand what's really going on. And most people in California are really concerned about the big spending. I'd like to get into one of the bills that they passed last time, this family leave bill, where, if your wife has a baby, you can take off for 6 weeks. Is that 6 weeks with pay or without pay?
That's 6 weeks with pay.
Oh boy, I bet that's really popular with industry in California. Is that why so many companies are leaving?
Well, I was just reading a story just a second ago down in my area. Buck Knives, who's been in that area for, well, at least 60 years, has been in the San Diego County, East County area for 60 years, is moving to Idaho this year. They expect, and just to kind of give you an example of what we've been doing to business, they expect by moving their business to Idaho that their workers' compensation costs will go down 40%, that their unemployment insurance costs will go down 60%, and the savings on the 250 employees that they have, that's several hundred thousand to $1 million in savings that comes right off the bottom line, savings that they can pass on to the consumer to sell their knives. They can't compete. What the family leave bill did was take that workers or that unemployment insurance cost and kick it through the roof. The employers have to pay an arm and a leg to provide somebody with a job. And essentially, it's like you said earlier, if you tax something, you get less of it, and if you subsidize it, you get more of it. Essentially, unemployment insurance and workers' compensation is taxed on a job. So when you increase those taxes, you get fewer jobs. We have lost 230,000 manufacturing jobs in California since December of 2000. And we continue to keep adding these kind of crazy laws onto business. They keep adding these crazy laws onto the small businessman, trying to feed his family, trying to figure out how to get by in this difficult time. And they're saying, forget it, we're not putting up with it anymore. We are going to another state, we're going to another country, we're getting out of California.
And I think that's it, Well, I think that people are lucky that they're moving to Idaho rather than moving to Mexico or China or Malaysia or some other place, because that's what's happening to so many of our industries. At least there'll be some people working up in Idaho, but more and more and more of our industries are moving offshore because of the NAFTA, which they told us, oh boy, it's going to give us so many more jobs, and yeah, it did give a lot of jobs to Mexico. And, of course, the World Trade Organization, we got a billion and a quarter people there in China, and they're all going to buy American products. Well, they're buying products, but they're not made in America. And, in fact, even Korea now is getting China to do their electronics. And China is going to simply destroy the industry in the United States. They can outproduce us, and with the tax, with the doors wide open, they don't have the workman's compensation and the unemployment benefits and the pensions and all of these things. And if I were a producer, I'd be crazy to stay in the United States. Do any of the Democrats understand what they've done to California? If you go over to Silicon Valley, close to where I live, and it looks like, like a ghost town now.
Yeah, I truly believe they don't. First of all, they don't understand economics. They think socialism works, and that is it, at its base. That is their key problem: is they think things that don't work actually do work, and they're trying to implement their vision of a socialist paradise here in California. And what they're doing in the process is turning us into some third world country. It gets uglier and uglier day by day. Here in California, we are paying a significant price, and it's only going to get worse.
Well, one of the things that really irks me is the fact that people can come into this country illegally, and they could go to our state universities cheaper than somebody, an American citizen from Arizona, coming to California to go to one of our state universities will pay five times as much as somebody who is here in California illegally. We are subsidizing people to come in. We are encouraging them to come in illegally, and the governor goes right along with that.
The governor signed a bill this last year which basically said, if you can get into California illegally, we will pay for your, the citizens of the state of California will pay for your education. And they get it at reduced rates. They get what they call California resident rates, which, like I say, for somebody who's from Arizona, they have to pay out-of-state rates. Somebody who's here illegally from some other foreign country, they get to pay the same as anybody who's here from California, even if, they haven't paid, like my family has for 20 years, paid taxes for everybody else's education. I mean, the whole idea for the out-of-state race or the out-of-state rates was that, well, you're in California, you're paying taxes in California, therefore you're helping to subsidize a portion of the tuition. Charging people who are here illegally, and the argument was, well, they're here paying taxes too. Well, usually they're not. People who are here employed illegally tend not to be, the employers who employ them are breaking the law. And since they're breaking the law employing them in the first place, they're probably breaking the law by not paying the employment taxes and the withholding. Oftentimes they're paid under the table. They're not getting they're not doing for the economy and certainly not doing for the tax base what employers who are doing a legitimate business do.
Well, one of the things that really irks me, I understand now that there, if you are in Mexico or you're a Mexican citizen, you don't have any insurance or you don't have any money, and you go to a Mexican hospital and you need care, they simply put you in an ambulance and bring you up to into California or it's one of the border states where hospitals are mandated by federal law. They can't turn them away. Have you heard that?
Yeah. Well, in California law, we actually pay for it.
Oh, isn't that nice? So we're really subsidizing health care for the Mexicans and really the very, very sick who, of course, they don't want to take care of in Mexico because they don't have any money.
Yeah, in California, just so you understand, the federal law back in 96 or 97, as a part of the welfare reform of 96 or 97, the federal government said, we're not going to pay for illegals anymore. California, in response to that, said, okay, fine, you don't have to pay for them, we will. And California passed, there's a series of programs that have an alphabet soup listing. There's the CHDP program, and they got real pretty names, like the Child Health and Disability Program. It said, well, we're taking care of disabled children. Well, no, actually what we're doing is it's a way for people to get, their health care paid for by the California taxpayers. It's a 100% California-funded program because they don't ask for citizenship papers when you go in or any proof of residency when you go in to get the health care. Under Medi-Cal, you have to show some form of proof of residency, some proof that you're here legally. But under the CHDP program, the WIC program, and a couple other programs like that, we have, like I said, the CFAP and WIC and CHDP and all these programs are 100% state-funded, and they pay basically the reason for their existence is to pay for illegals.
Well, now, is there going to be money to continue doing that?
Well, you know, that's one of the things that we're pushing for, because, you know, if there's federal participation in just from a budget strategy, I've been talking with some of my colleagues, and what we're saying is we've got to get rid of all the 100% state programs. If the feds aren't going to contribute to the program, Medicaid, which is Medi-Cal in California, the feds pay for half and the state pays for half. If we cut out all the 100% state programs, we, in essence, solve the problem of paying for illegals' health care, because we are now applying the federal rules, which say that people who get the health care have to prove that they're legally in the country. And that's one of the budget strategies we're working on. We're not arguing about whether they're here legally or illegally. We're just saying, well, if the feds aren't contributing, then we can't pay. We don't have enough money to pay anymore.
Yes, but of course, there is an agenda behind this whole thing. It has been around since 1965 when they changed the immigration laws. They really want to destroy this country. They want to convert it into a multicultural society. I mean, a lot of Mexican people they're wonderful people. But when people are coming here illegally and they are being encouraged to violate our laws by the Ford Foundation and by people within government and people like Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House now, who wants, of course, for everybody will accept a Mexican ID card, and whether they're here legally or illegally, and they can use that for all sorts of things. Yeah, when people within Washington, D.C. are encouraging people to violate our laws, why do we even bother to have laws?
Well, in the end, that's the most serious question. What are we doing paying these folks to break the law? I mean, they get a financial advantage to break our laws. The California taxpayer is essentially picking up the tab for them deliberately and openly violating federal law on immigration.
I'm going to have to interrupt you there, Ray.
We've
got to go to a break. But
sure.
Right now, I just want to mention our people who live here in the Monterey Bay area. There's going to be an institute on the Constitution held over in the Marina area later this month or early in February. If you're interested in going to that, you give my 800 number a call, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's a 12-week course, and you'll learn about the Constitution, what we had and what we've lost. Because you can't understand what you're in favor of unless you understand the Constitution. They've intentionally not taught it in our schools. They've intentionally violated it in our courts and, of course, within our legislature. And every one of our state legislators is sworn to uphold the Constitution and defend it from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And we got an awful lot of domestic enemies sitting in our state legislature. But you don't know that. If you don't know the Constitution, if you'd like to attend that program, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We'll put you in touch with Alex, who's going to put on an institute on the Constitution, a 12-week course. They're being set up all across America. And the first thing we have to do if we're going to take America back is understand what we believe in, and certainly the godly foundation of this once great nation. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, if you haven't read it, why you need to, because it tells you the secret that's been passed down through the ages, through the secret societies. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, there have always been secret societies. And the secret was never written down, because if it did, they wrote it down, it would cost them their lives. Alexander the Great understood it when he set out to conquer the world. And our leaders who want to create a new world order understand it today. Brotherhood of Darkness, available by calling 1-800-544-8927. The book is $12.95 plus shipping, or you ought to get the Brotherhood of Darkness special, which is the video, the book, and the audio tape. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. A very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working within organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and
The tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the unnecessary epidemic, because you need to understand the background to this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Well, Dr. Stan here, and our guest today is Assemblyman Ray Haynes, and he's up there in Sacramento basically because he believes he's going to make a difference there, and he does make a difference there, and he's one of a handful of people that I've known for a number of years who are dedicated to really trying to reorient our country and get back to this concept of limited government and individual freedom rather than the total government control. And there are two philosophers. There's one that says men should be free, and the other says that men should be controlled by an elite who really are so much smarter because most people don't know what to do, and so they're going to provide a utopia for us, just like they had in Benito Mussolini's Italy, or Adolf Hitler's Germany, or Stalin's Russia, or as they have in communist China today. And, of course, the tragedy is most people don't understand that there's really very little difference between socialism and communism as far as the end result. It's simply how you get there. And they say, well, look how wonderful things are in Sweden. But Sweden is not a socialist country. It's a welfare state, but you still can have private property. And, of course, the leaders here really want to take away private property rights. They have a different agenda. They have a different worldview. They dream a different dream. Well, I sort of interrupted you when we were talking about immigration and some of the problems there, Ray.
Yeah. Basically, what I was saying was that we end up subsidizing folks that are here illegally. We pay them money to break our laws. And right now, the state of California is paying a price. What happened, you know, of course, California passed the law, Proposition 187, that said we're not going to pay for health care for illegal aliens. That was back when our budget was at $49 billion, okay? That's 1994.
What is it, about $99 billion now?
Yes, it's $99 billion now. It was $49 billion then, $99 billion now. And that's, you know, that's 1994, eight years ago, right? I mean, that tells you how fast this government has grown. And what has happened is a lot of the programs, if all we did was cut out these health programs in California where we pay basically for illegal aliens and a lot of other folks that really don't need it and a lot of the Medi-Cal fraud that's going on, if all we did was cut all that out, we'd have a balanced budget today. And that's, whether you count it at $35 or $26 billion, it's relatively simple. We eliminate the health expansion, the program of the expansion of these health programs that essentially pays for illegals, 100% paid for by California taxpayers, you could pretty much solve the problem of our budget now.
Well, do we have many illegals, children of illegals here going to our schools and expanding the population of our public schools?
You know, I specifically don't know the numbers. I can't tell you if there's a lot or a little. We all know they're here because they quit asking the question a long time ago. And I know the closer you get to the border down in my area, there's a lot of children that are here illegally. And the schools really don't care because they get paid for the number of kids that are sitting in their chairs in the classroom.
Well, of course, the governor says that the SAT scores are going up every year that he's been governor. Have they really gone up, or have they dumbed the SAT scores down, SAT tests down?
There is no question. They have changed the standards of the SAT scores. I will say the scores have gone up very slightly in the last 6 years. California went through a process before this governor became the governor, by the way, of adopting a relatively strong set of academic standards, which has resulted in the test scores going up. But given the fact that we're spending $8.8 billion more on our schools today than we were 4 years ago, a 1 or 2 point increase in test scores is an extremely inefficient way of spending the money, particularly when, you know, we're throwing money away in our education program. We are, quite frankly, again, the things that you're talking about, we're paying for kids that ought not be in our schools to be in our schools. We have a whole series of programs that essentially reward schools for doing a bad job, and we're paying a price for it. We're not getting the bang for the buck that we're putting into the schools.
Well, no, I understood the governor was going to cut about $4 billion from the schools, another $5 billion from health and welfare. Is that accurate, and how is that going to be administered?
Again, going back to his specific budget proposal, what he has done is, I remember the old joke of the store that puts its products on sale for 50% off, but when you read the fine print, it said after we raised the prices last week by 50%.
Right.
That's the money that he's cutting out of out of education. That was last year's over appropriation. We we put $2 billion more into the education system than we were required last year. He's taken that out. And then he counts it twice because of the way we do our budgeting. You count it in the year you take it out, and then you count it in the following year plus the base increase. That's how he gets the $5 billion. You take $2 billion out of overspending, and then you get to count it by $5 billion in the budget in the budget year. So that's how he's doing the education. The health and welfare stuff, I haven't got into the detail yet, but most of those so-called cuts are not cuts to the base, cuts to what we're spending this year. They're cuts that they want to cut out, if you understand. We passed a law saying last year we were going to cover all of these spending programs. Well, we figured out we can't cover all those spending programs. And so we're going to eliminate what we're going to do next year, and they call that a cut to the program. We're not spending any less. We're just not going to spend all the stuff that we thought we were going to spend at the beginning of the year. Those are the kind of things that he's counting as these huge cuts. They're not cuts to the base. They're not cuts to the program. They're cuts to the future of the program, if you understand what I'm saying.
Right. Well, the whole thing, I think, is sort of smoke and mirrors to give the impression that something very effective is being done.
Yeah, most of the government programs budgeting is smoke and mirrors, and the government gets a benefit for being so much in smoke and mirrors because you can't figure out. I mean, I spent here 20 minutes trying to explain to you the details of what's going on in the program and never quite capture all of the ways that government deceives you about how they're spending your money.
Well, I think it's such a shame that Tom McClintock didn't win. I think he would have been a great controller, and there might have been at least some restraints on what's going on, and I hope he'll run again and maybe he'll win the next time. He came awfully close this time.
Yeah, Tom, this is the second time Tom has come really close to winning, and he ran a great campaign on almost no money. All the public employee union groups, all the Sacramento establishment types, fought him with everything they had because they knew if he got here that he would be their worst nightmare. And he almost pulled it off even with that. I mean, Tom did a stellar job. He is one of the great men here in the legislature, and certainly one of the folks that I pay the closest attention to on what's going on.
Well, of course, you know, would he stay in the legislature? What's going to happen?
Yeah, Tom will be in the Senate. He's a state senator now. He and I served together in the state Senate while I was there. And he'll be on the assembly side, or he'll be on the Senate side for at least another 6 years.
Well, how are we going to be able to convince the people of the state of California what's happening? Because we're not going to get industry here. Nobody's going to come in here with a 6-week, leave anytime anybody wants to take out. They've done this over in Sweden, and, you know, they got about 30% of the workforce, it seems, off almost at any time. You know, your workman's compensation benefits, and then all the environmental rules and regulations and planning commission and harassment if you want to do anything to your property or your plant, you know. Why put up with this?
No business will. I will tell you. You remember Al Checkey, the guy who ran for governor against Gray Davis on the Democrat side?
Right.
He ran as the liberal in the race, saying
right.
He was saying, well, he's the liberal and Gray Davis is the moderate, and tried to win on that level.
Right.
Al Checkey was quoted in a newspaper last Tuesday as saying, California doesn't have a revenue problem, they have a spending problem. Businesses, and Checkey was the president of Northwest Airlines as well. He said businesses are redlining California because of the family leave, because of the increased taxes and workers' compensation. They're not coming here. Those are the kind of stories we got to get out. I mean, Checkey is not some, in the media parlance, not some form of right-wing nut. he literally is a Democrat stalwart, a liberal stalwart, who said he supported all of these programs, but he's now seeing what these things are doing to California's economy, and he's starting to call the Democrats on it. And you know, we've been saying these things for, I mean, I personally have said them for at least 6 years. We're building us into this problem, and finally some of the guys are starting to wake up. We just keep talking. I keep pointing it out, showing the facts. The facts are clear. They're incontrovertible. The newspapers and the mainstream media are going to ignore it, so I'm going to as many alternative sources, talk radio, conservative newspapers, conservative print, internet, any way I can to get the message out that this is indeed what's going on in California.
Well, at least we have a radio voice, we have an internet voice, we have a shortwave voice, and we'll give you all the voice that we possibly can. And this is really so vitally important that people understand that recession, everybody says it's going to be over any time. Well, they've been saying that for about a year, and it keeps going right on down. And we've got 30 steel companies in America that have gone into bankruptcy in this last 5 years. 30 steel companies. The only reason our steel can even compete at all is because they put a tariff on it to give it some protection. If they took the tariff off as they're supposed to with this free trade concept, we wouldn't have any steel production here at all, and it may very well come to that before too long. You know, you have to have a vibrant economy. You have to be able to produce if you're going to be a great nation. And we're losing so many of our industries south of the border into the Orient, or they're just giving up and saying, well, why quit?
Yeah, there is no question, particularly here in California, more than any place else in the country, we are slowly but surely killing jobs, killing the ability of people to feed their families. It's getting ugly. It's truly getting ugly.
And of course, the thing is that people make less and less money. There's going to be less and less income tax paid, less and less sales tax paid, down the line when they begin to stop purchasing, because right now they're still purchasing an awful lot. And what about this 1% increase in the sales tax the governor wants?
Well, this governor still hasn't figured out that government doesn't create a penny of income on its own. It has to live off of other people. And when you increase taxes, people increase their tax avoidance behavior. One of the more interesting stories that actually showed up in the San Francisco Chronicle, people who live close to the California border don't shop in California. They shop in the states. Up in Northern California, they shop in Medford, Oregon, because the prices are so much cheaper because the taxes are so high here. We increase our sales tax by another penny, revenue will go down. Interestingly enough, California actually had, there's significant evidence from when California raised its taxes in the early 90s that those taxes actually decreased revenue. In 1991, 92, when the taxes went, that was the year the taxes went into effect, our total revenue was $42.1 billion. In 92-93 budget year, it went from $42.1 billion to $40.9 billion. We supposedly increased taxes by $7 billion and we lost money. Why is that? Real simply stated, we lost money because people changed their behavior and started shopping in other states. Rich folks who got a 2% increase in their income tax, they moved to Texas, or they moved to Florida. They moved out of the state so they wouldn't have to pay that extra money.
Or they bought a home up in Tahoe, and then, of course, they spend a little time there on the Nevada side, and they live here the rest of the year, and they don't pay California income tax or other taxes. We're going to have to take a quick break, and this is the time we have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and, of course, we hope that many of you out there will realize that we are sort of a voice here crying in the wilderness, but the voice is growing in size with almost 50 stations every month every week that are hearing at least some of our programming, and so we hope that many of you will decide right now you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and for a suggested gift of at least $20 a month or more, you'll get our 4 best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us as we reach out across America with the news behind the news, the truth you're not going to get from the establishment commentators who pretend to be conservatives or Republicans, but of course, they're really, of course, only giving half truths. and lies. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's www.RadioLiberty.com. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, perhaps our December newsletter, which deals with what's happening financially and the occult foundation of our economic system, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Tell others about our programs on our website, and then seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters.
Our four-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this afternoon. This is Assemblyman Ray Haynes. And if you'd like to give us a call, our number 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And, you know, the biggest problem we have is getting people involved, getting them to understand what's going on, getting them to be willing to put the time in. A lot of people, you know, well, they don't even bother to vote. Well, it's not simply even a matter of voting, although you should vote, but you have to be involved before that and find good candidates and back the candidates and try to reach other people and let them understand what's going on. Organize the precincts. How have you got your area down where you live, of course, to begin becoming more conservative, Ray?
Well, what I have done is set up a network. I mean, the bottom line is it's not been easy. It's taken a lot of work, and the kind of things that you're talking about that you got to do, it takes a lot of work. You know, both political work and informational work. One of the things I do, just for example, is you get my email list. We send out my Monday morning memorandum. Comes out every Monday. On a topic of the moment in the Capitol, and we sent it out to about 10,000 people. Real simple to sign up. Get up on my California state website. Send me an email saying I want to be on the Monday morning memorandum, and we'll send it to you. Just give us your email address, and it's there. That's one of the things that we've done. So we communicate with 10,000 people statewide on that, and hopefully they forward it off to their friends. I send out 8,000 letters a month to my constituents, talking about, again, issues of the moment, educating them on what's going on in California, telling them what our legislators and our governor are doing. And then, you know, quite frankly, I have found if you tell people what's going on without trying to basically, I don't give them opinions, my political opinions, and I do in my Monday morning memorandum, but I don't say, you know, when I send out information, I said, by the way, here's what's going on. Once people know what's actually happening, all of a sudden they start going, you know, I don't like that. I don't want that going on. How can this happen in my state? And quite frankly, 90% of the battle is just providing people with the correct information about what's going on. They'll reach the conclusion on their own.
Well, you know, that's really so true. The reason that we're losing is because, you know, people don't get the truth. If you can get the truth to them, I don't care whether they're Democrats or Republicans. I think most people love America and want to be free, but they have to know. And I know I'm sure you remember a Senator Don Rogers. And, you know, he was down there over in the Riverside area.
He was from Bakersfield, but Don was one of the great ones.
Right.
Don was one of the great ones.
He had a area that was two-thirds Democrat. It was over two-thirds Democrat. As a Republican senator, he kept winning time and time again. They did everything they could to get rid of him. But, of course, he did just what you're doing. He was trying to get in touch with the people, and that's really what you have to do. And I know certainly Senator Mountjoy did that. But
sure.
It takes an awful lot of time and effort. I really don't know how how you have time to do what you do and keep on top of these bills and sit through all those committee hearings and then still, of course, build that level of understanding that is absolutely necessary for your reelection.
Well, I have some really good people who work for me who do yeoman's work, who are committed to the cause of freedom, who are committed to getting the information out, and I mean, I wouldn't look half as good if it weren't for the people who work for me. They do the job above and beyond and really make me look good. All I try to do is say, well, I think this is a good idea, and next thing I know, I'm talking with 10,000 people about what the idea was. So we got a good team, and it takes a team here, and we got good folks like you doing the work, you know, giving us the opportunity to talk about it and talk about it in real terms. I mean, the stuff that you're saying is right, that the problem that we have in this state and in this country is we've forgotten what liberty, we've forgotten what the Constitution is, and you got to constantly remind people what they're fighting for and what it's all about.
Well, of course, this is what we do, and you know, there are a lot of people who are very liberal who really don't understand. I used to be a liberal. I know how they feel, and it's idealism based upon a total misunderstanding of human nature and the history of the world and the history of governments. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we just couldn't do all these things and pass all these laws without an understanding that the more laws you pass, the more problems you get. And there's no problem facing America today that a new series of government laws isn't going to complicate even more.
Yeah, it is a worldview. It's how you conceive of the world. And if you think that people are sort of inherently good and all you have to do is kind of guide them a little bit, and that people who get into government are inherently good people, then you're going to come up with one set of rules. If you think that, well, you know, you want to have the smallest government, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, those sort of things, you come up with another way of doing life. And quite frankly, it has been my experience in government and my experience in things that I've done. If you give people enough power, they will take everything they can from you. The only way, quite frankly, the only way we legislators, those of us who are in government, get any acknowledgement is by taking away your liberty. We get power, prestige, money, position by taking away your liberty. So there's a whole bunch of incentives for us to do that. And it takes, I call myself, you know, you have a ruling class, and then you have the entrepreneurial class. You got those who work. You know, if you're in business, how do you make money? You make money by convincing people to buy your product. It's a voluntary relationship. If you're in government, how do you make money? You make money by taking it away from somebody else. And that's, we get power, prestige, position, and money by doing that. And if you don't stop them from doing that, they'll continue to do it until people say, don't do that anymore.
Well, you know, I think one of the most ridiculous things is that most people think the government has money. Yeah, they think the federal government's got a lot of money, you know, and why shouldn't we get our share of it? You know, everybody else is getting, why shouldn't we get our share? The truth of the matter is the federal government doesn't have any money other than what it takes from us by force, what, of course, it borrows or what it prints and it creates inflation and then steals from us that way. But the government doesn't have any money until people understand that, you know, they're not going to get, we're not going to be able to change the attitude of people. There is no free lunch.
That's exactly it. Government only works at the end of a gun. And, I mean, you don't need government to give you money or to develop money. If you've got a good product and people think it's a good product, people will come rushing to you to buy it. The only time you need government is to force somebody to deal with you. And that's how, and then decision-making becomes political. Then you get inflation. Then you get job loss, you get higher taxes, bigger government, all the things that come simply because people come to the government and say, well, I know I can't make a living on my own. Please tell that guy that he has to deal with me. And that's the essence of the problem of government. And it's also why government tends to get bigger is because more people, I'm going to be real blunt here, that lazy people go to government and use politics to get rich. Inventive and intelligent folks figure out how to make money on their own effort without the government, and they're constantly at odds.
Well, of course, you know, one of the things I'm noticing that we're going to have some problems with is that at the last election, the people voted, I don't know, what was it, $20 billion in new bond issues, something like that. because they were told, well, it's not going to raise your taxes. The money's going to come out of the general fund. And I kept watching these ads, and they said, oh, it's not going to cost you a cent. The money's going to come out of the general fund. Did anybody ever wonder where the money for the general fund comes from?
Yeah, it is. And that's a common misconception, and it always is touchy-feely stuff. Oh, yeah, we love parks, and we love libraries, and, you know, we love schools. And they're always told, and you can have all this stuff for nothing. And that's in essence. When they say we're not going to raise your taxes, they're basically saying we're going to give you all this great stuff for nothing. And the next thing they know, they have a $25 billion budget problem.
Right, and of course, the other thing is that, of course, apparently this new legislation that President Bush is putting through, that will mean that people can get their dividends, and they won't have to pay stock dividends, won't have to pay taxes on them. So that's going to mean, apparently, that a lot of people are going to invest in stocks where they won't have to pay any taxes on the dividends rather than in bonds. And, of course, the tax-exempt status of the bonds is what's given them the advantage in the past.
What you will find is a capital flow, because the returns on stocks are better than the returns on bonds. It's a smarter investment, and the only thing that keeps the value of the bonds down is we double tax stocks. We tax the company that makes the money, and then we tax the owner of the company who gets the money, the stockholder. It's wrong. I think Governor or President Bush is right to want to stop the double taxation, but what it will do is you'll see a flow of capital going into stocks, which will increase stock value. But when capital and money flows to stocks, it flows away from bonds, which means you got to pay a higher interest rate on the bonds in order to get the money.
So it's going to cost us billions more in interest for the bonds we voted on the last election that we were going to get for nothing because it was free money.
Right, exactly. Well, and I mean, we're already paying. We have passed in the state of California, in the last three election cycles, well over $25 billion in bonds.
And who's going to pay that?
And now we have a $25 billion budget problem, and they want to increase taxes to cover it. So the two kind of work together.
Well, anyway, we're just about out of time. Do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners?
Well, the important part of making things happen and changing things in this society, in this government, is to let people know what's going on. I have found, as long as I give out information and take the time to gather the correct information and take the time to distribute it, that people make the right conclusions on their own. It takes a lot of work, there's no question. But, my parting thought is, get involved. Get my Monday morning memorandum. That's a good start. It'll get you connected to a lot of different information sources. Stan, your program is a great program because it talks about the issues of liberty, and those are the kind of things they need to get worried about, because we are slowly but surely losing liberties that we were guaranteed under our Constitution.
Amen to that. Well, thank you so very much. Thank you for being up there representing us, and God bless you, and I hope to be seeing you very soon.
You bet. Thanks a lot.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan, and that was Assemblyman Ray Haynes, and you can get his website up there on the web, and of course, we ask you to pray for America. To pray for our leaders and our ministers, pray for revival, because if the American people don't turn back to God, why, God is going to turn his back on the American people and this great, once great nation. And then we ask you, of course, to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Well, I'm going to be gone for a couple of days, but the programs, you got some exciting programs. Joan Paris is going to be doing the program on Thursday and Friday. You won't want to miss it. And until Monday, when we'll be back with you again, Dr. Stan, goodbye. And may the Lord be with you.
Well, you'd have to actually get somebody to calculate the whole thing out and find out that, you know, the county will squander the money too. And, you know, 10% tax, if you're going to have a 10% income tax, that's a lot more than a lot of people are paying right now. Because they have a lot of deductions right now. And so, you really have to have somebody go through it, figure that actuarially, and find out if it would really be any advantage at all. The important thing really is to cut government spending so they're not spending so much. I mean, if you give 90% of the 10% you collect to the local county, don't you think they'll spend every cent of it and want more? Well, as far as I'm concerned, well, you have to understand, basically, that the federal education is under federal control right now. And you're not going to change the education because right now the No Child Left Behind program is designed to have federal testing on a regular basis. And the testing does not evaluate, reading, writing, and arithmetic or learning skills, but attitudes, beliefs, and values. And they know exactly what they're doing. So, I mean, the best thing we could do would be to close down the